Just to welcome everyone to this Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, November 3rd, 2025. I will begin with just a reminder that this meeting is being recorded, and as usual, we will place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. I also like to share some helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. And if you'd like to make comments, you can press star 9 to virtually raise or lower your hands. Everybody who is joined through the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, for some, it might be under reaction. That will do the trick of lowering or raising your virtual hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. I do request everyone to please stay on mute unless you're speaking because it helps eliminate any external noise. So in advance, thank you for following that. As you know, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. I would request everyone to please state your name before you make your comment because it's helpful for the interpreters. It's helpful for the people who are listening on the phone calls, and when people listen to the meeting audio, it's helpful for them to know who the speakers were. As a reminder, we do request speakers to describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I'm wearing reading glasses, I have a mustard yellow, deep yellow color shirt with black and red and gold scarf and burgundy sweater. So if we can follow that, that would be great. Chair Sheehan, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then I can go to the AAC roll call if you concur.
That's perfect, Anu. Thank you.
Great, thank you. So before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen. And when that is visible, if somebody can confirm for me, I will appreciate that.
I see it.
Thank you. So as soon as I finish reading the agenda, we will go to AAC roll call. Afterwards, Chair Sheehan will go through the motion of approving today's meeting minutes. Excuse me, today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. After that, we have Dr. Maggie Butler. She is the Vice President of System-Wide Accessibility. She will provide an update on system-wide accessibility. Then we have a committee discussion about Hettinger Award 2025. Today, we will get the nominations and complete the voting process. The next topic is the elections, AAC elections. Afterwards, Chair Sheehan will give an update about DMV moves, followed by public comments. And then we will take the bus and rail subcommittee report, followed by the metro access subcommittee report. And the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now and going to the roll calls. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Vanessa is connected on the meeting.
Alert. Audio now muted.
Present.
Thank you, Vanessa. Rico Dancy. Rico is connected on the meeting, unless he got dropped off due to his battery issue. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher, Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Here.
Thank you. Swatha Nandakumar. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newzel.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan? Patrick is connected on the meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here.
Thank you. No problem. And Philip Weintraub? Okay. Just want to state for the record that a couple of the members are not connected due to, they have informed us prior that they may not be able to connect. They are excused. With that.
And Anu, I'm here, Mr. Farmer.
Thank you.
And I'll have to come off at 7.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
And with that, Chair Sheehan, you have the quorum. I just want to remind the members of the public, if you'd like to make any comments, please send us a chat message if you can. Otherwise, if you're able to raise your hands when we begin public comments, that would be wonderful, because this allows us in knowing how many members we have with public comments, and we can try to ensure that everyone gets a chance to speak and give their comments. As a general practice, we have 2 minutes for each speaker. So if you'd like, you can start sending chat messages or raise your hands at the time. With that, Chair Sheehan, I will ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor. Chair Sheehan, if you're speaking, you're on mute. Chair Sheehan, if you're speaking, you're on mute. If you will unmute yourself. There you go.
There we are. Very good. I don't know why that keeps flipping back. Anyway, thanks everybody for coming. I appreciate everyone being here. Got a pretty packed meeting tonight. So we'll move right into review of the minutes first, review of the agenda first. Do I have any additions, corrections to the agenda?
This is Tino. Yes, I sent in an amended version to Anu. I don't know if that is now the, it incorporates the amendments I sent in. And I had invited others also to send in amendments. Anu,
we're doing amendments to the agenda?
Oh,
approval of the agenda?
Sorry, I was thinking of the minutes.
Right. Okay.
No
problem. I wanted to do the agenda first, then we'll move into the minutes. Sure. Do I have any additions to the agenda? Hearing none.
I say we adopt it as is.
Thank you, Paul. Do we need a second?
Second.
Okay. Anybody object? Hearing no objections, we'll go to the minutes. Thank you. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Go ahead, Tino.
Yeah, I had submitted to Anu my amended minutes, and I don't know if that's the minutes we're now talking about.
Okay.
If it is,
I don't know if everyone was able to see those additions to the minutes that Tino sent.
I saw the ones that, this is Sarah. I saw ones that Tino sent yesterday or so, but then I saw something from Anu, I think just before the meeting started. So I'm not sure, I didn't get a chance to read whatever the last thing was.
Okay.
I'm confused.
Yeah. How would the committee like to proceed?
This is Sandy. If Tino can summarize very quickly what his changes are, or else we can postpone approving the minutes until the next meeting, maybe. I don't know how this works.
Well, we can do that either way, whichever the committee feels they would like to do. I don't know if everyone had a chance to read them.
This is Sarah again. Anu, can you say what the status was? Did you incorporate Tino's comments or not? Or did you send another version? I lost track.
Sure, Sarah. This is Anu. No, so my response was that if we can amend the minutes during the meeting as we do usually. So the draft that everyone received did not have Chino's comments as of yet. However, if the committee decides to make any amendments today or move it forward to the next meeting, that is up to you. But those are not incorporated in the draft that everybody received.
This is Tina. I recommend that the vote be delayed until people have had a chance to review the new minutes that Anu prepares.
Okay. So we thank you, Tina, first of all, and postponing or tabling the minutes until my next meeting. Do
second.
I hear it? Good. Okay. Thank you. Motion to table is not debatable. So do I hear any objections? Okay. Hearing no objections, we'll take them up in December. Thank you, Tino. And those will be incorporated into the minutes. So we'll have one set to review. That's good. Let's see. Board report. Are there any additions or corrections to the board report? Let's see, Paul.
So my usual amendment is friendly amendment is going to be that we, depending on what comes out tonight, we'll amend the board report as needed from the meeting.
Good. Do we have a second for Paul's second amendment? Yeah. Okay.
Second.
No, I'm sure we won't have any objections to that. Good. All in favor or any objections to approving the board report? Hearing none, we will accept the board report as written for now, and we'll see if we have any additions to it later on. Great. Thank you. Let's see. Next on our agenda, I believe, Dr. Maggie Butler, system-wide accessibility, you have an update for us?
Yes, and good evening, everyone. I'm Maggie Butler, an African-American woman with shoulder-length hair wearing a blue top. The system-wide accessibility department is in the process of creating an accessibility roadmap that will guide our key priorities moving forward and strengthening our reach as the enterprise-wide resource for accessibility. Our goal is to help Metro staff integrate accessibility into their daily work and decision-making across the organization. In preparation for the AAC's in-person December 1st meeting, we are developing a comprehensive accessibility events toolkit to help staff plan and host inclusive events that reflect the lived experiences of individuals with disabilities and older adults. And before the end of the year, 2025, we'll also provide another update on the Bathroom Accessibility Initiative to share progress and next steps. And finally, Metro is still accepting AAC applications for open positions representing the District of Columbia and Virginia. And the submission deadline has been extended to Friday, November 28th, 2025. So thank you, and I stand available for any questions or comments.
Very good. Thank you, Maggie. Any questions for Maggie? No? Any hands raised, Anu?
Chair Sheehan, Sandy has raised her hand.
Go ahead, Sandy.
I didn't realize I'd raised my hand, but I do have a question. Is the, and I'm not sure if this is for Maggie, but are we still going to have the in-person meeting at headquarters for the December AAC meeting, which could be a test case for making an accessible meeting?
That is correct, Sandy, and that was what we thought. We would utilize this preparation for this meeting and feedback from you all after that meeting to help strengthen our toolkit.
Excellent. Thank you.
Very well.
Very good. Any other hands, Anu? Okay. Hearing no more questions, we can go into the next agenda item. We want to talk about nominations for the Hettinger Award. I knew those were due in on Friday, 31st, I think at 5 p.m. or so. Can you tell us what we received?
Yes, Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. So we received nomination for one person, inclusive by two people, two AAC members. And that nomination is for a former WMATA employee. Everybody knows about this person, David Schaefer. Unfortunately, we lost him earlier this year. If you would like to, two members who have nominated, if you would like to take a few minutes, share your comments about the nomination, that would be great so that everyone on the committee gets to know about the reasoning behind your nomination. And Dr. Posner has raised his hand.
All right, why don't we start with Dr. Posner? Phil, you had some thoughts regarding David, and how long is that? What is that, like 2 pages, Anu? We could actually read that nomination also, and then Dr. Posner, why don't you start? I think you had some nice additions to David. You worked with him in a different capacity than a lot of us.
Yes, having read the nomination that you and Sandy put together, you've said enough to nominate him without me, but I can't help telling you how great David was. David was a friend. And when I chaired the committee, many of the things that we were able to do was because of the help and information he gave us. And I'll let you and Sandy talk about his early years as a civil rights attorney and the fact that he was going blind during the period he was with us at WMATA and continued his work as an incredible advocate for the community and for disabilities. And he fought through the problems, his own problems, of the developing blindness. He had several physical disabilities with tumors, spinal cord, and neck problems, having migraines and excruciating pain, but still proceeded to take care of the AAC in every way he could. The people that have been on the committee for a while can remember my major complaint for multiple years was the fact that the default position of the elevators was at the platform. And I tried for multiple years to get that changed to the street, pointing out that in Virginia during the winter, it was cold, it was wet, it was snowy. In the summer, it was hot, it was raining, it was awful. And the people waiting for the elevator in the stations were air conditioned and heated. And why not do something nice for the people on crutches, in wheelchairs, and too poor to afford heavy clothing and get those elevators up to the street? And finally, with David's help, and Mr. Blake, who one day in the winter actually had to stand outside the elevator up here and realize how cold it was, to get that changed. The other thing that I complained about repeatedly to no avail was the fact that the down escalators to the platform were not close to the entrance gates. So at multiple stations, you had to walk as much as a half to three quarters of a mile to get to the down escalator once you came into the entrance gate. And to make it worse, when you got off the down escalator, if it was a six-car train, You had to walk two car lengths back to get to the sixth car because you came to an empty platform. And once again, David was the one that walked the stations, walked the tracks, and managed to finally get it changed at those stations. So this is a gentleman in pain with tumors, going blind, but still fought for the disability community. So I think I've said enough.
Thank you, Phil. And I'm just saying your stories, when you told them back to me, I remember we went through those many years ago with David, and you're right. He was legal help and ombudsman where with respect to the Office of ADA Programs when he was there. But he was walking the tracks with you, making sure things were done. Nothing was too small for David. I knew maybe it's, what, 2 pages long? It's not that long of a nomination.
Sure.
Perhaps you could share, read it for the committee, and then we can go into discussion. And sure. I'll recognize Sandy next.
Okay, I will share my screen before I start reading it. So if you can bear with me for a quick moment.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And then I see Tino has raised his hand, and obviously Sandy would like to make some comments, and you should.
We'll read that and then recognize the hands. Yeah.
Yes. So here it goes. It states, David Schaefer dedicated his distinguished career to advancing equity, accessibility, and justice for people with disabilities, women, and minorities. His leadership in accessible transportation and civil rights law reflects a lifelong commitment to ensuring that public systems serve all members of society and with fairness and dignity. Mr. Schaefer graduated sum cum laude from Wittenberg University in 1980 with a major in political science and minors in business and music. He earned his Juris Doctor's from Stanford Law School in 1983, where he was elected to the Order of the COIF, a National Honor Society recognizing academic excellence in law, and served as president of the Environmental Law Society and senior editor of the Stanford Law Environment Law Journal. Following graduation, he clerked for the Honorable Betty B. Fletcher, United States Circuit Judge for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. From 2006 to 2013, as Assistant General Counsel at the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, that's us, Mr. Schaefer managed complex civil rights and accessibility litigation, including Disability Rights Council versus WMATA. He provided legal counsel on Title VI, Title VII, and ADA matters, ensuring compliance with federal civil rights standards while strengthening WMATA's commitment to non-discrimination. His work directly advanced accessibility for riders with disabilities and helped institutionalize ADA and Title VI compliance across the agency. From 2013 to 2021, as Access Policy Officer in WMATA's Office of ADA Policy and Planning, Mr. Schaefer played a transformative role in embedding accessibility across all facets of Metro's operations. He reviewed and implemented federal, state, and local accessibility regulations impacting rail, bus, and Metro access services, oversaw Section 508 conformance and the adoption of web content accessibility guidelines, which is WCAG 2.0, and advanced alternative format accessibility for internal and external digital communications. As a liaison to the disability community, he represented WMATA at public forums, ensuring that the voices of riders with disabilities shaped policy and practice. Mr. Schaefer's insight as a professional with legal blindness gave his advocacy unique authenticity. He understood firsthand the barriers faced by riders with disabilities and worked tirelessly to remove them. expanding access to bus, rail, and paratransit services, and guiding WMATA toward the highest standards of inclusive design and customer experience. After leaving WMATA, Mr. Schaefer continued to champion equality through his private practice, representing hundreds of individuals nationwide in civil rights and class action litigation. He fought for workplace accommodations, gender equity, and fair employment practices, holding institutions accountable and securing meaningful reforms. His legal acumen extended into the insurance field, where he developed risk assessment tools and authored the Employment Practice Self-Assessment Guide for AEGIS Loss Control, now used by major insurance firms to identify and mitigate discrimination risks. Throughout his career, David Schaefer has exemplified integrity, courage, and compassion. His leadership at WMATA improved accessibility for thousands of riders, while his broader legal work has strengthened the civil rights landscape for people with disabilities nationwide.
Very good. Thank you.
Two more lines.
Oh.
For his decades of service, advocacy, and enduring impact on accessible transportation, the undersigned proudly nominated David Schaefer posthumously for the Richard W. Hettinger Accessible Transportation Award. And that's Patrick Sheehan and Sandy Newsell.
Very good. Okay. Sandy, you had your hand up. Thank you, Anu. Did you want to speak a little bit to this? Thank you.
Yes, very briefly. I did not know David Schaefer well. I met him briefly. He was giving a presentation as an ombudsman for Metro Access and Metro in general, explaining how Metro Access and Metro Bus and Metro Rail worked. And at the time, I had just recently started my second career as an advocate for people with low vision and did not realize that I myself was eligible for Metro Access. I thought maybe I was, but I wasn't sure. Anyway, he took the time to explain to me very carefully that yes, I certainly was eligible with my legal blindness. And I was very impressed by his presentation and his presence at the time. I mean, he mentioned in his presentation that, or maybe talking to me afterwards, that his vision at that point was 2800, which is like almost you can't see. And yet he could get around independently, ride Metro, do his legal work, do his ombudsman work. And it just really impressed me. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate that. Yes, he did an awful lot of work in the community outside of WMATA, reflecting that advocacy, education piece that, you know, was part of what he did. Thank you, Sandy. Tino, you had your hand up.
Yeah. In the 8 or 9 years that I've been on the AAC, I only saw him before he retired, but he was always kind. Until now, I didn't know the depth of his disabilities. What was just read amazes me. What Anu details about his background surely amazes me. He was such a gentle person and always responded to whatever is brought to his table. And saying that, I have to admit, I didn't know much more than maybe 10% of the background that was described for us in the commendation. I hardly agree and would hope that the Hettinger Award would be made to him, and that maybe some occasion would be arranged so that people who knew him and most of them probably knew him far better than I ever did, that some of them would be available when the accommodation is made. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Very, very good. Thank you. Anybody else wish to add who knew David in his capacity at WMATA or even outside of WMATA?
Yeah,
Patrick, I insist on your doing this because the two largest projects we have had on the AAC since I have been there forever are the lighting project and wayfinding.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And David's role in wayfinding was the father of it. He started it with you.
Right.
He was the leader in getting things organized and setting it up. And Patrick, please talk a little bit about wayfinding and all the great things that he did with you.
So the wayfinding project that he worked with a company called Waymap. And that was a project that allows any individual who downloads the application do step-by-step directions within the WMATA system using a technique that does not rely on Wi-Fi within the system. So if I'm walking outside, I've got Wi-Fi, I can find the bus stops and all of that thing. But over a 3-year period, David helped to put a coalition together, which included Verizon, mostly Verizon, I think it was. Of course, WMATA was lending their stations and accessibility of their stations, and Waymap. And they were able to map the entire set of stations. And I know they started doing some of the bus stops so that you wouldn't lose a beat. If you walk into a system, you download the app, and it will give you step-by-step instructions on how to get from point A to point B. It would let you know when the trains were coming. It would certainly let you know when the doors were opening. And as the stations got noisier and the car doors got quieter when they opened, that certainly was a huge benefit to me. And it also allowed let you know what station you were coming up to, whether it was a center platform, side platform, all of that sort of thing. And that was open to everybody. This was the first big station that the Waymap project was completed in. I am going to be in touch with Tom Pei to see what we need to do on 2.0 as far as training, because I think that's the next step. And, you know, I remember, what was it, October 14th, we had a rollout of this system, and there were a lot of people that participated, I think, in this committee, within the blindness community, certainly in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, National Federation of the Blind, American Council of the Blind. I know the American Council of the Blind as an organization was very interested in this and helped move this forward also. So it's an excellent project, very technically sound. The application of what has been learned here, I think they're looking at certainly at L.A. to maybe expand the use of the Waymap project out there. I've heard also rumors that they may try to use it with the Olympics going forward, but we'll see. So David really had a hand in that, and he still supported the project after he left WMATA. And so, David deserves an awful lot of credit for making sure that this project came to fruition, because there were times when, particularly during the COVID years, when we weren't sure how much access we were going to be able to get, but he saw it through. I remember, as I said, February, I think it was 14th or so, when they had the rollout, David was in the other side of the room. And, I couldn't find him or locate him. Didn't get a chance to locate him and just congratulate him on this. And Tom Pei and others were congratulating David on the work he did. So I said, I'll catch up with him in a couple of weeks. We need to move this forward and see how we can go from 1.0 to 2.0. So I never did get a chance to go over and see David, and I'm sorry that I never did. We lost him shortly after that, and it was a very stunning blow to me. And Tino, like what you said is true. It's not only the work that he did within WMATA, where he worked particularly on metro access to ensure grandfathering of the system, which was critical to a lot of people, but he practiced it outside with his law practice. I think he was in front of the Supreme Court a couple of times. Certainly has high profile cases that he won, and he was very dedicated. But you didn't know about that with David, because he was a quiet, steadfast person who didn't like to be in the limelight. But I was amazed. I think he graduated second in law school at Stanford. I had no idea. I didn't even know he was a lawyer. And so, it's just stuff like that that just blows you away. You don't know, and I think that happens with a lot of people. We don't know everyone's background. And when you start to sit down and listen to what people do and what they accomplish and how they accomplish it, I'm just impressed with the fact that here was one person that was serving the community, still serving the community, working with blind and low vision individuals to try to improve not just train or transportation access, but whatever we needed in the state of Maryland, DC, and Virginia. He was working with all those groups. So, I would like to place this nomination forward, or someone else can do it.
Sir Sheehan,
Yeah. Yes.
this is Anu. Actually, we have about five more people who would like to make comments.
Good. Let's do that.
We have Ms. Rush, Denise Rush, followed by Paul Samelford. After that, we have Philippa Mazzell, and then Philip Weintraub, and then Steve Kaffin. So, Ms. Rush, go
Well,
ahead.
let's take those five comments. That's great. Thank you, Anu.
This is Ms. Rush. In the future, with the AAC members, I don't have a problem with going to buy some sympathy cards. And I knew you could have them on file. You get the news pretty fast, and we will have something to sign and send out for the AAC members. And we say beautiful things that are true. We know beautiful things about the AAC members, but we don't attend their services. And I want to make sure that at least one or two people attend their homegoing service, because we have been negligent with that. But in the future, I hope that we do that.
Thank you, Denise.
Next is Paul Samelford. Paul, go ahead.
David was a wonderful person to work with. I got to work with him many years on the appeals panel for Metro Access customers. He definitely showed his depth and breadth and knowledge of the ADA law and that whole process. So it was a pleasure to work with him on the many, many cases over the years that we had for appeals, and making sure people got their due process in the appeals, whether their Metro Access was ultimately approved or denied. He definitely reminded us team members the letter of the law and how to vet that thoroughly. The other piece, I don't know if you most remember him for, at least me, is with our Metro Access web booking. He was the one who, made sure it was equitable for all users to access the one that we use today. He will be sorely missed, and I hope we move forward with this in terms of him being our nominee for the Hedge Award this year. It would be very special. Be the first time in person we come together to do this, I guess, since I was the last person in person for that award. So this will be, very humbling to me if he is selected.
Thank you, Paul. I'd forgotten about the web booking. That's right. He was all over that, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
Anu?
Okay, thank you. Next is Philippa Mazzell. Philippa, go ahead, and then it'll be Philip Weintraub.
Good evening, everyone. I didn't know David as well as some of you, obviously, but I did work with him on a couple of appeals boards. And I find him to be very kind, sensitive, compassionate. He was so independent and extremely knowledgeable. And I, you know, he was very unassuming, yet he had a powerful presence. I remember he would come into the meetings when we met in person, and he would basically be coming in behind me, but you could almost feel him coming in, and you'd turn around and catch him as he entered the room. You know, I'm very supportive of this, and it's a good thing we're doing here. I'm sorry he didn't get to see it, but that's all. I'm done.
Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Next is Philip Weintraub and then Steve Caffin. Philip, go ahead.
Also, even though I only met him once, and that was even before I knew about the AAC, was I remember when they were first bringing out, when they first started doing Metro Access, and I remember they had everyone that got together who was going to use it, their how he was describing how that that those people were relying on the like services like Barwood call and ride is going to be having this new service that's going to be taking them to work and other places, and there, and I remember how he was like on describing it, is that how all the stuff's going to take to have a smooth transition in this new service, and how Metro Access is going to work and all that stuff, so that people there, so they won't be panicking when they come find some other kind of vehicle could come out of their home to find out some other kind of vehicle picking them up. So I would say, and I just hope he'll get this award. And I'm also looking forward to finally meeting you all in person.
Thank you. Thank you, Philip. I remember Abilities Ride 1.0. That's true. We had a lot of interesting meetings when that was starting to roll out. And you're right, David was there. Yes, keeping Mr. Blake on target. Good.
And next is Steve Caffin. Steve, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to add somewhat my experience to what other people have said, particularly Paul. I served on the appeals hearing committees on a number of occasions that David shared. And yes, I had gone through the training, but the real training was with David, because he knew how it should be done. And I remember I expressed on the first time I did it my apprehension that I wouldn't ask the right questions, I didn't know the law fully, and he reassured me that he would be leading it and that everything would work out all right. But the other thing I wanted to add is that he, and because of his lawyer brilliance, he asked questions which brought out the applicant's abilities to explain their need for having Metro Access. Many of the applicants arrived in a pretty daunting setting at WMATA, and felt a little certainly felt awkward in being in this situation. David recognized this, and because he knew exactly what he was looking for, he made I could tell he was working to make sure that the applicants truly expressed their cases in a way that they would fairly be adjudicated. An extraordinary man. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's great to hear, Steve. Yeah, the compassion was always, certainly he knew the law, but the compassion was always there with David. That's true. And very kind and respectful. So I think we've had a good discussion. I would ask if someone would like to accept this nomination for David Schaefer.
I move Paul Sonfort. I move that we move his nomination forward.
All right. Do I have a second?
Go vote.
I second.
Very good. I can ask for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Doesn't sound like there are going to be any objections. Very good. All right, Anu, I think we have our award winner for the Richard Hettinger Award. You, when we talked a few days ago, you said you were going to get in touch with Kelly Simoneau,
yes,
who had contacts with his family, right?
Yes, and I have contact information for his son. I had the pleasure of meeting his son and his daughter many years ago when I started with this office, when we were still at JGB. So I'll be speaking with him.
Okay, good.
The world, yes.
And I think, yes, let's get the word out with this. I think it would be nice to be able to have people speak on certainly on David's behalf. There'd be other things that we would be able to learn about David, but certainly would like his family to be there to accept the award on his behalf. That would be lovely.
Sure. Right. And here, Sheehan, just to share, I will be, his name is Judd, Judd Schaefer. I'll be speaking with him, informing him about David being honored, his schedule, and invite him, of course, and any family members and any friends who would like to attend. Because it'll be great to honor Judd and his sister, if she's available, to take this award on behalf of David.
Great. And it's nice that this is going to be in person. I think that's, of course, David wouldn't want all this fuss, but I think that on his behalf, because that's how he was. But I think it's great to be able to do this in person. And I know we'll get a good turnout for this award. Thank you, Anu. Good.
That would be great because he was a wonderful father. I can remember he always managed to come visit me at the Library of Congress with his daughter. So he could take her to the law library and to the Supreme Court across the street because he was a member of the Supreme Court bar. And so I think it's wonderful if his son and his daughter could come and talk about what a great father he was, because no matter how tough things were, he was always thinking about the kids.
That's great. You know, and like we were saying, I didn't know he had a son and a daughter. So we learned so much about David. And yeah, that sounds just like David getting access to the Library of Congress and Supreme Court Library and that for his kids. That's just David through and through. Excellent. Very good, everybody. Thank you for that. I think we are basically pretty much on time. That's pretty good. Let's see. Next is AAC elections, and we received three nominations for three positions, taking up where she left off last month. Sandy, I guess I'm going to ask you to conduct the elections.
Okay.
Based on the nominees that we received.
Okay. So in September, we were supposed to, you know, think about the elections in October. I put forward a slate in October. And after much discussion, Phil Posner, with wisdom, said, why not table this till November? And anyone who wants to be nominated should put their name forward to Anu before the meeting. And Anu received three nominations. Patrick Sheehan is willing to be the chair of the AAC. Miss Denise Rush is put her name forward to be the first vice chair of the AAC. And Sarah Rott put her name forward to be the second vice chair of the AAC. So if there's just one person for each slot, it's possible to do this election by what Robert's Rules calls acclamation, since each position is uncontested. So can I keep going?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So Tino, you want to speak your piece.
I do.
Just take a couple of minutes because, you know, and so go ahead, Tino.
Well, today's slate for AAC officers is the same as was offered last month for AAC officers. And today, again, I object to the nomination of Patrick Sheehan, who insists on becoming the AAC chair for yet another term. 4 days ago, I circulated news about how institutions such as the 1,400-year-old Church of England finally installed a woman to head the church, and how a woman became the first to become prime minister among Japan's 104 prime ministers. The world's changing. Shouldn't the AAC also change? Last month, I proposed, I wrote to help make the change by standing for election as the AAC's chair. Relatively new, compared to most members, Sarah modestly declined. Then what happened? A few days later, Sarah surprised us all with a proposal for changing how people with disabilities might recertify their eligibility. Sarah's proposal noted how some other jurisdictions have or are already modifying their requirements. Doing so can both save the money, costs, and the time, not just to some people with irreversible disabilities, but also the time of medical professionals and staffs of transit agencies who carry out the recertification work. Sarah's draft may undergo a few modifications, but her draft was already so impressive, it quickly won the praise of the head of DC's counterpart to our AAC, Dr. Karthik Balasubramanian. He stated his appreciation of Sarah's work and also offered to gain the support of DC's government support DC government's counterpart for our final form. Even prior to Sarah's recent work, she often voiced informed observations during meetings and shared thoughts and emails between meetings. For such reasons, I proposed her chair last month. Now Sarah may respectfully decline again. If such becomes the case today, I hope you will all you members won't turn your backs on another woman member I would nominate for chair, a veteran DC representative, Philippa Mazzeo. Discussing how it's time for a change at the top of the AAC, I wrote to Doris Ray about elections, and Doris heartily recommended Philippa, saying that Philippa would make a great chair. Doris added that not only would a woman head up the AAC, Doris noted that a resident of Montgomery County, Patrick again, has for years headed the AAC at the expense of all other jurisdictions whose residents hold membership on the AAC. Because Philippa represents DC, the change I proposed in the AAC chairmanship is way overdue for another important reason besides overcoming our stubbornly persistent male domination. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino, for your thoughts. I'm going to respond to them in sort of reverse order. And first, I'm going to ask Philippa, even though the nominations were supposed to be into Anu, do you feel you would like to be nominated for some position on the AAC, second vice chair, first vice chair, or chair?
I'm totally honored by what Dino just said, but at this point, I just wouldn't be able to handle the workload. But I'm very honored by it, and perhaps I'll consider it in the future. But right now, I will respectfully decline the nomination, but I do appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Philippa, for that insight.
Ms. Newsom, this is Anu. Denise Rush has raised her hand.
Okay, I was going to get there, but go ahead, Denise.
Okay. Ms. Rush, if you will unmute yourself. Star six, you can unmute yourself. Ms. Rush, this is Anu. Just in case you're speaking, you are on mute. Therefore, we cannot hear you. Okay. We may have lost her. Dr. Posner has raised his hand. Sandy, did you want to take his comments or did you want to make?
Yeah, we might as well. We took Tino's comments.
Dr. Posner?
Yes, I'll be brief. I'd like to compliment Philippa. And if she were willing to run, it's a great idea for next time we have an election. Because we currently have two people totally blind in the chair and first chair position, and Philippa would be physically a step up as low vision. In addition to that, Philippa is a DC resident. And so she does get around. And I think both Denise and Patrick will tell you, having vision is an advantage at the board meetings and getting things done. And so both Denise and Patrick are great. And they do get a lot of stuff done. But having one other person with a little bit better vision next time around would be something to consider. And maybe Philippa could take the next year or two to figure out how she could free up some time to help her fellow AAC members. That's it for me. I'm done.
Thanks, Phil. Anu, are there any other hands up?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll continue responding to Tino's comments. Sarah, this is for Sarah Rott. Tino suggested that you might be, he'd like to propose you to chair the AAC, and yet you have told me and Anu that you're just comfortable with a second vice chair. Does that continue? Or would you like to say something?
Yes, thank you, Sandy. And thank you very much, Tino. I really, truly am humbled by your comments. And I'm glad that you appreciate the work that I've been working on. But I will reiterate what I said last time, which is I'm very new to this, and I am learning a lot. And I'll be happy to support the chair and the first vice chair. But at this point, I am barely comfortable accepting the nomination for the second vice chair. So, thank you, but I'm going to decline again. Thank you.
Okay, and Tino, so I want to respond to Tino's comment that Patrick is willing to serve again for the chair of the AAC. Going back to the bylaws, Patrick was elected 2 years ago, 2023, for a 2-year term, and he's allowed to have anybody can have 3 consecutive 2-year terms. So he's completely eligible for this. And the comments about, you know, we should have a woman leaders. Well, the slate is Patrick, Denise, and Sarah. So there are 2 women who will be assisting Patrick. Patrick does not do this, the chair does not work in a vacuum. The chair would be working with a first and second vice chair. So again, I'd like to say we have a slate. And one more thing to Philip. Yes, like Phil Posner said, it would be wonderful if you could free up time and put yourself forward for the AAC.
Sandy?
Chair or first chair. Okay, go ahead.
Apologies. This is Anu. Rico Dancy would like to make some comment.
Okay, go ahead, Rico.
I have a question. If people want to come chair, is it training or some kind of training for that? I'm just curious about that.
I think the best response to that is training, is attending the meetings and reaching out to the chair and vice chairs of a committee and learning what the workload is. I don't know of any other formal training other than sort of mentorship and being a mentee.
Oh, can I say something on that score?
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
very quickly, because we're getting a little off topic, but go ahead.
Bill at the last meeting suggested that someone who is chair could be obviously assisted by the vice chair and the second vice chair. And so, in effect, Sarah, who has all the smarts, could easily serve as chair and be backed up by, say, both of Denise and by Patrick, who would be either second vice chair or third vice chair. She could be backed up by them and gain the experience that way. But to be dominated by a male, the AAC deserves better than that. I mean, times have changed. The AAC deserves better than that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino. I'm a little lost for words here. There are two women who are willing to serve on the AAC chair, vice chair, second vice chair. So, Anu, if there's no other hands raised, I'd like to proceed to election.
Juan Farmer just raised his hand.
Okay, go ahead, Juan.
Oh, Sandy, I'm actually right where you are. You just said it. I would rather you call for a vote. Okay, I think there's been plenty of discussion, and I'm not saying I oppose anything that people have said. Okay. But we have a set of nominees. We've had people, multiple people, decline at this time.
Okay.
I have one other statement to make. I'm trying to stay on topic, but unfortunately, it compels me to say it. I do not like it when the tone for me of, it's not disability shaming, that is not the right word, but tearing, when a person's disability is tiered because of vision loss, be it somewhere in the middle versus total. That statement bothered me from what Dr. Posner said. I do not want to go into a discussion on that now. I just want it to be noted that troubles me, that the language that was used was kind of offsetting. Perhaps I can have a conversation offline, but that's that. We can go back on topic now.
Okay, thank you, Tuan. And
hey, Tuan, let's talk about it offline, and I will apologize to you for telling the truth.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And along those lines, I will say that in my career, when women were put forward because they were a woman, it was very troubling to me. I think we have, as a committee, gotten way past that. We put people forward who are qualified and willing to do the work. And only three people have stepped up and said they are willing to do the work. So let's wrap it up and get to elections. Since each one of these positions is unopposed, we can elect by acclamation. So first, I would like to say, let's elect Patrick. I want to go through them one by one. Patrick Sheehan to be the chair of the Accessibility Advisory Committee for another 2-year term. And by acclamation, all those in favor say aye.
No.
Aye.
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 All those opposed may say nay.
Nay.
And anyone who wants to abstain can abstain. I think the ayes have it, however, because there was only one nay. So let's move on to the first vice chair position. Denise Rush put her name forward to be first vice chair, unopposed. So by acclamation, I was supposed to ask. By acclamation, please vote in favor by saying aye.
Alert.
Aye.
Radio now ending.
Aye.
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 Anyone who's opposed may say nay. Okay, and I think that means that by acclamation, Denise Rush, Mrs. Rush is first vice chair. Now for the third position, second vice chair, Sarah Rott. By acclamation, say aye.
Alert. Audio now ending.
Aye.
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 Any
Aye.
nays? And I didn't speak up. I say aye to all of them. Okay, so I think we've wrapped up the elections. Thank you all for the discussions, comments, insights, and Philippa, I hope, and others, I hope you're willing to step up in the future.
Miss Newsell, Susan Bowmaster had raised her hand. Susan, did you want to make some comments?
Just for about 30 seconds that we had an extra 30 days thanks to I guess it was Philip. And as I understand it, anyone who wanted to be considered as a nominee could have put their names forward. So if there was, some unhappiness with the number of people or their genders or their any other abilities, I think there were opportunities for people who wanted to be considered to let that be known.
Thank you, Sue. And I'll just say that, in my opinion, the nominations were closed as of Friday. Anu had sent the slate around to everyone, and I was just trying to be generous to allow people to express their opinions because some people feel strongly about
Like to
things.
stop.
So, okay, I'm done.
This is Ms. Rush. I got disconnected, but I'm back on. Just because you're a woman is not a reason to be in a position. Long as you are good for the position. And, I appreciate your contribution and your statement about women, but being an officer, especially a chairman, involves going to the directors' meeting. You don't know when they're going to have it, how long it's going to be, what is actually going on with the committee. I was a member. I became visually impaired, blind, 1999. I didn't even apply for the AAC until 2007. I attended all the meetings. I sat in the back and just watched and listened to what was going on and who was who. Sarah needs to do that. Get some history, learn about the AAC, and then move forward. I think she'll be a good chairperson but right now she doesn't know what's going on. We hardly know what's going on ourselves because we don't participate like we really should. You really need to attend all the meetings to not just see what's going on with WordPress, which is Metro Access, but the ridership and different things with the AAC, what the directors are doing at the board meetings. There's a lot going on. The wheels are turning. And the more you learn and see and watch, you know, even now, we just look how many people didn't know that David Schaefer. And that means attending their services. Don't wait till they're gone for them to hear the good words. Do you tell the good words to them while they are alive ever? There's a lot involved. There's a lot of wheels turning. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. And yes, Sarah has attended, I think, every single meeting since the AAC Bus and Rail and Metro Access. She might have missed one, but I don't think so. And Sarah, you can start going to board meetings too. So a little bit more work. Anyway, okay, thank you all. I hope I handled that acceptably. And let's move on to the next agenda item. Then it's Patrick.
Very good. It is me. Sarah, I don't know if you wanted to say something following this election.
Oh.
And I wanted to say one thing.
No, just thank you again. And I couldn't agree with Ms. Rush more. I mean, as I said, I know that there's a lot to learn, and I am really glad to be learning and to help support the AAC whatever way I can. But I am very glad that you are there. I am not. But I will start trying to go to the board meetings and learn more about how the bigger organization works. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah. Yes. And I wanted to say thank you to everyone that voted for me. Tino, I get your words. I understand where you're coming from, you know, and having a capable person in his chair is a good thing. So,
well, also,
Tino, let me continue on. That wasn't an invitation for you to interrupt me. What I was going to say is that this committee is very important to me. And I think that one of the things that this committee, that I need to be able to do with this committee, is to make sure that after the 2 years and my term is completed, that I will have put into place a good succession plan so that this committee moves forward. This committee is far more than one person doing the work. There is good work being done, as all of you know, at the subcommittee level, work that is done on a task force level, work that is done in conjunction with the RAC, in conjunction with other things that we're working with, like DMV moves. I'll talk about that in a minute. So this committee has a lot of work to do. It's not about the people. It's about working together as a team. And so I rely on everybody here to step up as much as they can. Transportation is extremely important to the community that we serve. And so our job is to serve the community. It's not about me being chair. I rely on Denise. I rely on Sarah, Sandy, Tino, you Bus Rail, Paul Metro Access, lots of people, Denise and all. So there's a lot of things we need to do. We need to buckle down and move forward with it. And I, you know, my pledge to this group is that when I'm getting ready to leave, let's say when and Denise and I leave at the same time, that we want to make sure that the leadership of this committee is rock solid and moving forward. And that's the most important thing to me. In case you guys don't know, and I think you should know, the amount of respect that this committee gets in front of the board is amazing. Randy respects what we do, what we produce as a product. And that's all of us, not me. You know, I'm lucky enough to be able to talk about the stuff that you guys do up front. So this committee has to deliver those products going forward long past when I'm done, so that people with disabilities, and that's the people that we serve, are going to go forward and get our best effort, because we can't give them anything less than 100%. So let me jump into DMV Moves, because I know we're a little bit behind schedule. DMV Moves is going to be a very brief report from me. The task force met one last time on the 29th of, what was it, 29th of September. No, I'm sorry, October, just last week. And they basically confirmed the resolutions that they had been working on. It was a very interesting discussion, particularly when it came down to $460 million being given every year by the jurisdictions, how that money will be calculated out from the various jurisdictions, the formulas going forward. That was a topic of discussion. Very interesting. But that money is going to be indexed for inflation. How that's going to be worked out is critical because we're going to be in a very difficult place come FY28, or let's say July, you know, FY29, July of 2028, when we won't be able to borrow against any of the money that we have there. And that's critical. Keeping up with the state of good repair is critical. And that's, I think, the number one thing that they want to continue doing. But rather than fix everything at once and move forward, which would take, you know, millions and billions of dollars, depending upon how you do it, they are going to work on the projects that they prioritize first, take the most critical first, and continue to work those over time. And so that will continue to keep us in state of good repair. I think that the reports, the areas that, at least that I've seen, which they are interested in moving forward, is automation, train automation, which you guys probably have heard a lot about with respect to what's been on TV. The track signaling, which needs to be replaced over a 10, 20-year period, which will cost billions of dollars. Bus prioritization, and that's going to involve working with the jurisdictions, the localities, and perhaps using some of our expertise with what we know to increase the efficiency of the bus routes, so that the buses, don't have to sit in traffic and move along. Improving the bus system is where you can increase most of the core capacity in the system. And that's going to take some doing. Bus rapid transit, of course, is another area that they have got 6 or 8 routes that are planned out that they want to put into play and see what that does for moving people from point A to point B. I'm very interested in what they're going to do on George Avenue, but we'll see how bus rapid transit works. These are multiple year projects, and as some of the work groups that they worked on, signage, fare simplification, wayfinding, which is things that we've worked on. So we're going to continue to watch those as they move forward and be able to give our advice in those areas. I think it's all going to be important. So we'll see what kind of topics can come up with respect to some of these elements, and maybe we can put them on during the AAC meetings. I think some of them, because they may not deal specifically with accessibility, but it's going to improve how the system runs. And it's good for us to at least know what the subject matter is. And of course, in those projects, particularly like when you're looking at the bus in general, we're looking at things like, how do we improve bus efficiency? Well, that runs into what we do in Prince George's County, what's going on in Fairfax, Virginia. Better bus network is going to be a key element in moving some of the things we want to move forward. So knowing where that stands, Tino, bus rail, having a very important part in that, in bringing on the gangway cars moving forward, and then making sure that everything is at least being aware of what's going on with the financing, because as we experienced 2 years ago, I think it was, when they start to cut, and if they have to cut bus, they're going to start cutting paratransit. And none of that's on the table right now, thank God, because some of that is the safety net for all of us. And so we need to understand what we're working with on a sort of large macro scale so that we can understand and help to make good recommendations going forward to the board. As I've said, the board respects the work that we do. We need to keep in our swim lane, which is accessibility and the scope of that. And I think we do a good job with that. But I appreciate Maggie and the work that they're doing. They're helping us get a more of a voice in the larger systems within WMATA. And I think the DMV moves recommendations, the final set of recommendations, which I know will be on available so that people can tune in on, I think it's November 17th, will be with the WMATA board and the COG board. And they will be asking a lot of questions. And knowing the tenor and the good, smart people that are on the WMATA board, that should be a very interesting discussion. So I am looking forward to that. I don't know the COG board as much, but you know, a lot of passionate people have been asking a lot of questions and wanting to move this forward. And you've got some differing opinions on things that we could have covered and we could have made more progress in. But I think that the set of recommendations that they've made is good. And one of the things that they said is that these recommendations are not the end of DMV moves, but they're really the building blocks to start things moving forward. So we'll see where we go from here. Questions for me on DMV moves?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anna.
Yes.
Yes. Denise Rush has raised her hand. Ms. Rush?
Go ahead. Yes, Denise.
Ms. Rush, you're on mute if you're speaking, or did you just lower your hand?
DMV moves. Tina, when you rode with the board member last year, did anyone ride with you all?
Were you addressing me?
Yes. When you rode with the board member last year, the year that you rode, did anyone ride with you?
You mean when I, let's say it was Catherine Porter, who was a board member, and
yes.
I ordered her around. No, it was only I as staff, I as a AAC member, and Catherine Porter, who was a board member for Maryland. She and I.
Who made the arrangements?
I don't recall. I was just asked to do it, even though I was virtually new. But we visited several stations.
I will call you this evening or tomorrow to discuss it, because I'm not clear on how it was run, but I thought that a AAC member and the person riding was the only one that was on the ride, so they could really see how it really works. But I'll have to discuss it with you later. Thank you.
Okay.
Very good. Any other hands up, Anu?
No additional hands up at this point, Chair Sheehan.
All right, good. Let's see. We can move to public comment, Perry.
Sure. And I will just remind any members of the public, if you have comments, please raise your hands. If you're on phone, you can press *9. If you are connected through the video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon. And if we have any members of the public who would like to give any comments, we will have 2 minutes per speaker. I am not seeing any hands up or any messages in the chat for public comments. So given that,
right.
Chair Sheehan, I would assume that we have no members of the public connected on this meeting with public comments.
All right, then why don't we move to our reports? Tino, you're up first with bus rail.
We had Sarah Meyer, who discussed the status of the Metro Rail station restrooms, and she mentioned that there is a schedule for completion of the updating restrooms. We also talked about, we had a discussion of the bus rapid transit system. We also talked about the District of Columbia's Department of Transit discussion, and we had a public comment period. And that was basically it. Thank you.
Very good. Questions for Tino? Were there any other parts to that? Let's see. We didn't have anything with Prince George's County, I don't think, did we? Sandy?
No.
No.
No, okay. We didn't.
Okay, good. All right. Question. Yeah.
That was the previous meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. So this is Sandy. I was looking back through my notes, and I thought that we had. I wrote down a couple of things today. I'm sorry, I lost my place. A little bit rattled. We also had, in addition to the bathrooms discussion and we had I think it was Teddy discussing. He asked the question, two questions about signage. Well, the color of signs at the kiosks, the manager's kiosks, to find, you know, to ask the managers to use the restrooms. And so we really should comment about those colors back to the mothership, back to staff, I should say. And the other thing that Teddy brought up was the order of how to order the rail lines for consistency, because WMATA is trying to have a consistent presence. You know, should it be the oldest lines first, or upstairs or downstairs? You know, and is it okay to have they're going to go with a larger, just single letter for each rail line. So could we just have, you know, BOS when it's blue, orange, and silver, as opposed to other orders that might not be appropriate, might be misinterpreted.
And consistency, I remember, was part of what they were looking at, because the orders were different in different stations.
In different stations, on maps, on the word isn't bling, but merchandise that Metro sells.
Merch, huh? Yeah.
And on signage in rail stations. And
branding.
Yeah, branding. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just wanted to add those couple of things, Tino.
That's good. Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate that, because that's an area that I, not having enough suitable vision, that escapes me. I don't even consider it. But I know for, you know, 90-95% of the people, that is critical. When they walk into a station, they want to be able to not have to reinterpret everything they see. So thank you for the folks on the committee who are spending their time looking at this stuff. I think it's great. Appreciate it. I'm sure that the public overall appreciates the recommendations we'll make with particular signage and branding in that area. Good.
Chair Sheehan, this is in. Yes. Susan Bowmaster has raised her hand. Susan, go ahead.
Yes, I think there was at that, when the report about the restrooms, that they had talked about coming out with a report in the future about which restrooms were completely accessible, and they had several categories. And I think I sensed that there were some members of the committee that would like to see a report now, even though it may not include all of the restrooms, but that if we could get a report of what currently is available. And I don't know if we're going to move forward on that, but I certainly thought it was a good idea that, you know, what are they waiting for when they do have the status of some of them that they could tell us now.
And I think that what they promised on that was a report by the end of November. And okay. I agree. Yes. And I agree with you. I think that we need to be able to see where we are at least now and what they can report out. And I think certainly they're going to be updates and improvements, I think, as they go forward. I think also they're trying to figure out what their terminology was going to be with respect to those bathrooms that are fully ADA compliant. Yes, that's and I think they had about four other labels to the other sets of bathrooms. So I think there's definitely going to be more to come there. And that is also an area where, yes, where that's going to be helpful, not only to us, but to everybody. So we'll have to make sure it's understood, defined, and we'll look at it.
Chair Sheehan, this is, I know Philip Weintraub has raised his hand.
Yes, okay. And Maggie had something in the chat. I didn't quite get all of that.
Chair Sheehan, this is Maggie. Just saying that we will have an update for you all by the December 1st meeting.
Beautiful. Okay. Great. Excellent. Thank you for that. I'm sorry, Anu, you...
Chair Sheehan, I was just stating that Philip Weintraub has raised his hand.
Very good. Philip, you're up.
Another thing about science is not only where, like, the different lines are also, like the exits, like where the exit to the street is and exit to the other places are, like, say, they should have, like, airplane street this way. Mm. People would know where to go.
Right, and I remember that was part of the signage, and not only viewable, but also consistent. So when you're in another new station that you don't know, you don't have to start reinterpreting the signage. Yes.
On that score, I had shown pictures from the Seattle transit system, which did just that. You go in and you immediately, you will see a sign saying restroom and pointing in the direction where the restroom is. More importantly, in Seattle, you don't need to go to a station manager. You push a red button and you talk to someone who helps you get into the restroom.
Oh, good.
Earlier.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you, Tino. Anything else? Any other hands up?
Not at this time.
Okay, very good. Let's see. Let's jump to, thank you, everybody. Let's jump to Metro Access.
Paul, you're up. This is Paul Somerfoy. I am an African-American male, middle-aged, wearing a blue, kind of a aquamarine blue shirt tonight, and given the Metro Access Subcommittee report, last month we talked about Abilities Ride Program and Providers Update. Mr. Blake has announced that they are going to be onboarding Lyft as a provider, which a lot of us, you know, kind of welcome that now Metro Access has another tool in their Abilities Ride kit. And he mentioned that they are interested in providing some level of, you know, possible door-to-door service. And we'll see how that pans out and what service areas they are able to do. All that to say, they're working very hard to improve on-time performance to where we would like it to be, 92% and above, eventually. Also, there were a lot of questions from customers about how the lottery process for trips for Abilities Ride kind of works. Mr. Blake gave some insight into that. You know, factors in the lottery process considers how many trips you have in a day, The total amount of distance of it, the time of day, possible weather conditions, all that stuff is factored into that whole lottery process. Another thing that came out from the meeting also about where's my ride is the emphasis of getting customers to use the app more and more to help alleviate the peak times calls come in and wait times on the phone. And I did suggest at the last meeting ways we kind of need to push out the word for those who are able to use it. Know about it and learn how to access it and use it. And those who need to use, so that way, you know, customers who still need to use the phone to call in and to, you know, access information from the agents are able to do so in a reasonable amount of time. Mr. Blake also talked about, and Mr. Williams Hall's talked about reservations, some updates that they now have a steady, very, you know, highly competent staff as they've always been, and just improving with that. Also kind of beginning to get customers, you know, as those who are able and have the ability to do reservations online so that the agents are, you know, available to people, you know, all hours of, you know, that they're open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And still the strong emphasis of calling earlier in the day between preferably 9 and 2 to book your reservations for not just one day, but if you are able to, you know, forecast it several days in the week so you can get that knocked out and, you know, squared away before the peak hours of after between 2 and 4:30 p.m. We also talked about the ability to text phone. Text, as I mentioned, is still a sticking point. The previous contractor used the man that text line that Metro Access has, but I kind of presented that this was kind of, you know, very scant with this particular contractor because there were some points, you know, recently I was able to text and then there's times I text and get no response and that's just not good customer service. And it's understandable on the, you know, staff has explained that while, yes, it exists, it's just the fact that they're really trying to man the phone lines and respond to the phone lines. But Mr. Blake is still committed to at some point get that text line to be responded to in a reasonable fashion versus not at all, which is still the case for the most part, with some kind of plan. Mr. Blake, did you want anything to add to that? And hopefully we'll get back to him with an update in the future about that texting number. Because
it was one thing, Paul. One thing also, you mentioned, of course, Lyft being one of the folks that he's bringing on. But also, I think there were three other, I think actually there was a total of five. I think it was three or four out of those five were also going to be used for increased wheelchair service. And I think Mr. Blake said something about 400 to 500 wheelchair trips a day, which I thought was pretty amazing. I had no idea that we
on a Billy's ride, because you know you have a lot of the providers locally now have, you know, wheelchair accessible vans, which is great for, you know, for accessibility for those customers who need access to a wheelchair lift, like colleagues like I have at work, where, you know, if she wanted to be on a abilities ride, don't have to have the only choice in Prince George's to be a van with a lift.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good. So I was pleased with that. And we'll see how the integration of those new services are going forward. But I was unaware of that. That's good.
Now, he did also talk about as their kind of beta testing with the app as another way to book and cancel trips. I know at this point they started on the my transit app to try to cancel trips, but I noticed a very big error, and I noticed that feature was taken off after I reported that error. So I guess they're working to eventually retool that, along with booking the trips on the app as another way of doing that, and eventually will be incentivizing customers to use online booking and or the app to book their trips versus reservations. But you certainly have a right to do it, but trying to make it equitable so that everyone can access them at phone, on the phone without any wait times or delays.
Right. Good. And I think a lot of also good discussion on my transit app and how flexible that is. And I have not used it myself, so that's something I need to get into, because seems to be a lot of good information with respect to.
Oh, yes. I can talk awesome about it, because I've been using it for about a year and I religiously look at it night and day. It's very, like I said, it's very useful to similar to Uber, about 34 minutes before the window opens, you can see where the driver's at, how many miles, it'll update. You can see the vehicle number, your driver's first name. I use the tool, if I use on the phone with reservations, to kind of, check to make sure, what we say in conversation is accurate and the reservation is done accurately. So it's been very useful for those things.
Very good. Let me see if there are any questions for you, Paul. Questions for Paul?
Chair Sheehan, this is, I know Sarah, you had
great. Yeah, go ahead, Sarah.
She lowered it, so.
And I know we also talked about Sarah's proposal, which we're giving full and adequate time at the agenda.
I was going to say we apologize a little bit to you, Paul. Not really. But along with Sarah's presentation, we've kind of taken over your whole meeting. There's an eligibility piece. And as I was looking at the Metro Access cards, the white cards and the blue cards, I couldn't remember what the eligibility requirements were.
What's on the agenda is about the whole recertification process. And then, of course, and then Sarah will give her present, proposal and presentation of that we've been, I guess, advocating for, and push this back to the main committee, the AAC, for you to present something to the board.
Sarah, first, before we're assuming your proposal is going through, but would you like to say a few words about that? I think we've got a few minutes here. And I wanted to say something about where perhaps it goes after it's been presented to Metro Access Subcommittee.
Actually, I wanted to just make a public comment if we have a few minutes, a totally different topic. But I'm looking forward to the Metro Access meeting later this month, and looking forward to going through the proposal and some changes and suggestions people have given me. And if you want to talk about where it's going next, that'd be great. I can hold my public comment issue for after that.
Sure, that's fine. It's kind of interesting. I think I told you, Sarah, I have no idea what the process is after it comes out of Metro Access. So it will go back to the full committee. And the reason I don't know is because we've never had anything like this before. So your proposal coming out of as a policy proposal, let's say, coming out of Metro Access is the first one that I remember seeing in 20, 25 years or whatever coming out this way. So we will take that, certainly feed that up with recommendations up through up through anew to Dr. Butler, and then that'll be sent over after she gets concurrence, if she needs to Mr. Blake. And I had already presented it last month to the board, saying that this proposal was going through, but I don't know where it goes after it's been shared, whether it has to go up to legal or where it has to go with inside WMATA. But certainly we will learn what that process is as it goes through that process. And certainly coming out of Metro Access, we had the resolution, which was passed. But I think what I really love about the proposal is all the work that was done just in the justifications going forward. And it really helped a lot that California has already implemented something like this. So this is really, really good work. So we'll see where it goes. Certainly, the committee will advocate for it. And I certainly plan to advocate for it in front of the board. But, we're pioneers here and you're really pushing this forward like this. And I think that's great. And we'll see where it goes. And we certainly will push for it. I think there's a lot to be said for its increasing efficiency and all. But we won't steal anyone's thunder, and we'll take that up in a couple of weeks. There is, if there's no more other calls for Paul, and what's going on there. Oh, the other thing, Paul, that I'm looking forward to is the report coming out of the transit folks, and I forget what the initials of that group are on the Metro Access proposal that they studied regarding Prince George's County. They had a great series of recommendations before with some good metrics and numbers and all. And I guess this is 2.0 part of their report. So you've got a pretty exciting agenda, and that should be nice. I'm looking forward to that, Metro Access. One thing that I forgot to indicate to people regarding back to elections again, we have...
Oh, yes. Before you even say that, Tawan, I've begin to do some chairing, because I'm going to be rotating this about every other month, because I'm going to be off this committee in 3 years. So I need to begin working with any willing people to train.
Good. And Paul, that's exactly where I'm going to be. But Sarah, I'm not pushing you into the chair to conduct a meeting right yet. But certainly, I think that is the spirit of where we want to move forward. So that, Paul, when you're no longer chairing the Metro Access Committee, that we can ensure that, Doris Matchett and you have put together is going to survive to the next person,
Or persons.
Persons, yeah, that's true. So thank you, Paul. Yes, so about the subcommittees, we need to have chairs for both the Metro Access Subcommittee and the Bus Rail Subcommittee. And according to the bylaws, in which they made a change, and so we, as the AAC, will be voting on the subcommittee chairs next month. Sandy, maybe we'll bring you back again for a second go at running another election. Maybe not, though. We'll see. But we would like to have nominations for those positions. In the bylaws, it indicates that the AAC elects the chairs of both committees. And of course, after the chairs are elected, they can then appoint the vice chairs, first vice chair or second vice chair. And I think going back to something that Rico asked, how do you get experience in doing this stuff? I think certainly experience comes from chairmanship of those two subcommittees. And then as vice chairs, you can step up and take the chair every once in a while and get experience that way. I think that's a great way to do it. But we need to have nominations into Anu by, what is the Friday before our next meeting, Anu?
I believe that would be November 29th. However, let me check.
Because okay.
That will be 28th. Okay. Friday, November 28th.
28th. Okay.
That is going to be the Friday after Thanksgiving.
And I don't. Okay. Very good. So why don't we get those names into Anu? I don't think we need to have a motion as we did with the chair and all of that, but making sure that we have solid committee chairs and vice chairs is important, because that's where most of the work gets done on the AAC. So if we could do that, that'd be great.
Anyone who wants to consider Metro Access, I am open to having you, you know, see, observe, chair. Tawana, you already saw I began that process last month. Yep. If he's still interested.
Yep.
Or Ms. Rush or anyone else. Good. Or Sarah. I'm just throwing names out there.
Good, Paul. Thanks.
Because in 3 years, I'm going to be sitting out.
Yeah, and I will be gone in 2 years. So we need to have succession, which means we want to have participation. And it's a good group. It's a good group.
Hey, Chair Sheehan, we have two people with their hands up, Tino Calabia and then Susan Bowmaster.
Right. Okay. Why don't we, well, let me go with Sarah first, because she indicated during it she wanted to speak during public comment period. So we'll go Sarah, Tino, and Sue Bowmaster. Okay.
Hi, this is Sarah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm having some trouble with my controls today. They're tiny little things and I'm having a hard time seeing them. Anyway, so I'll try to make this real quick so that people have time to talk. A member of the public, otherwise known as one of my adult children, who was a wheelchair user, had another incident on a Metro Rail car Halloween evening. There must have been some sort of an emergency. I don't know what it was, whether it was a mechanical issue or a suspected police issue or something like that. And I'm getting the full details, and I will submit a full report. But in the end, they had to sort of force open partially one of the doors at the end of the train, and she could barely get the chair out. She was afraid it was going to damage the chair. She did manage to get out with some help from friends and things. But the people that seemed to be in charge, I believe they were the police type folks, didn't seem to understand what the issue was, or that there was a concern about how wide, you know, a door open it needs to be to get a wheelchair out, that kind of a thing. And so it was just generally upsetting. And it reminded me that I would like to know at some point for the whole committee, sort of more about what the practices are for emergencies on trains and buses, or even for Metro Access, although it seems a little more straightforward, what the response is supposed to be for people with disabilities, whether it's visible or not, because clearly they kind of didn't know what to do with her and she didn't know what to do. And this is not the first time there has been an emergency on a train, and it has been a frightening experience. So anyway, at some point I would like to put in a plug for getting us some kind of training, or seeing what the training is, or learning about the protocols, that sort of thing. That was
okay,
it.
And I thank you, Sarah. That would be an excellent either AAC topic, ANU, or bus rail. Okay.
Well, this is Ms. Rush. The problem, Sarah, is that WMATA does not want to replace our equipment. We used to participate in the emergencies and whatever they had, or wherever the location was, we were there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, now they decide that they want us to sign agreement that if our equipment gets broken, that's on us. And if we get broken, that's on us. And that's ludicrous. I was working with a law firm and said, that is crazy. Because if somebody breaks that person's wheelchair, they have no wheelchair. And it's not on us to replace something that costs $4,000 or $2. It doesn't matter what it costs. We shouldn't sign, so we stop signing. It's okay if you can see, but a wheelchair or even the person's physical body makes no sense to be helping them know what to do, and we don't get our equipment replaced. So that's why we didn't get, you know, approved or we didn't sign, then it's okay. Does that answer your question, Sarah?
I'm not sure it answered my actual question, but that is fascinating, and that would be something else I think worth discussing at some point, because yeah. I didn't know any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we certainly, I think that can be part of the discussion going forward and see if there's any change in what Mod is thinking regarding that.
I have a question.
Oh, hang on, wait a minute. Let me go to Tino. What was the order? Tino, and who was after Tino?
Tino, Susan Bootmaster, and Rico Dancy, and we are at 7:25.
Okay. Tino, just a minute or two. Got to make these three fit fast. Go ahead, Tino.
Tino, you're on mute. Can you unmute yourself?
Can we jump to Subo Master, and Tina will jump back to you when you get off mute. Subo Master?
Susan, go ahead.
Okay, yes. My question is just about the nominating process. We can submit our own name or the name of someone else during the period up until Friday the 29th. And then my question, is there a process for accepting nominations from the floor at the actual meeting?
We haven't done that before, but I don't have a problem with that. I'll probably conduct those elections unless Sandy wants to do it. So I would not have any problems, but I would think that we've got a month, so certainly nominating somebody. The only thing that I would say is before you nominate somebody, check with them to make sure that they want to accept it.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
And I think that I would take nominations from the floor, but we've got, you know, a whole month to get our names in. And self-nominations would be okay.
Okay. Tina, go ahead.
Hello?
Tina, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tina.
Yes. Related to what Denise just brought up, I think the Federal Aviation Administration recently came to some conclusion about what to do with broken wheelchairs or other damages. Somebody should check on that because it's similar to what Denise just brought up. The other thing I wanted to mention was to back up on Sarah Roth's recertification draft. We should also recall that Dr. Balasubramanian has offered to bring it to his counterpart, AAC, for review and approval, too. We should forget that.
But we haven't. Yes. Thank you, Tino. I would just say that the proposal should really stay inside the AAC until it's gone through the subcommittee, approved by the subcommittee, and gone up through the AAC, because it shouldn't be released for public comment before we've even discussed it.
No, maybe not. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Rico, go ahead.
My question is about the rear chair. How is the train or dealing with people with a rear chair? Do they close the door right away? Or how is the training on deal with people with wheelchairs? Because I want to get involved. I want to join the training on how they do. I'm just curious about the training they do for the wheelchair. And can the AC member join the training?
So the training exercises, this is Pat Rico. By the way, describing myself, I have a worn, beat-up commander shirt after last night's game, senior individual. The training exercise that we participated in like 10 years ago, when we weren't having to sign that waiver with wheelchairs, there would be a general invitation to the AAC and also the RAC to be part of this training exercise. It was very complicated. I mean, it was complex. It took a lot of time. It's very thorough. It's very educational, not only for members of AAC and RAC, but it was very educational for the people that we gave it to, which were firefighters, emergency personnel at WMATA. It was a regional exercise. So, but we need, let's take, you know, we can't go through it all here, but certainly I think whether we might be, it might be a great exercise to have at a bus rail subcommittee to have a full-fledged discussion, ask questions and see where it stands. Because we do, I will say this, the AAC also, because we were forced really to sign a waiver to participate, the AAC did not really agree that until that waiver was withdrawn by WMATA for us to sign it, we were not going to participate in any of the emergency exercises going forward. But that was pre-COVID. What was it, 2018, 2017? I don't remember the last time we participated in an exercise. It could have been 10 years ago. So things may have changed, but let's bring that up and get it on an agenda, either AAC or bus rail.
Okay.
Thank you, Patrick. Can yeah. you make sure I want to join that? Because all that's, right. Audio now that, that's a topic that I want to join.
Good. Once we schedule it, once we schedule the discussion, certainly you'll be able to ask your questions. Good.
This Thank is you. Vanessa, real quick. Can we include white cane training as well?
What?
You mean with respect to
law that whole process? Of, yes.
Yes. Looks like Tino, you, we're right. filling up your we're filling up your subcommittee, Tino. Yes, that certainly is a legitimate question, as well as guide dogs, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, because I was using white canes and how were they going to evacuate me? And there was a process for all of that. But I think that I don't know how much how many exercises they've actually been doing in the last 5 years, because or 10 years, really. I'm sure they weren't doing much during the COVID years. So that's a new topic for us to cover.
Okay, and we are at 7:32, Chair Sheehan.
Good, thank you. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Don't move.
Well, Anu needs to say what she needs to say.
Oh, I knew. I'm sorry. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Thank you. So I just want to remind any members of the public, if you would like to make comments, submit your public comments, you can email those to us at metroaacchair@wmata.com. Or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay, the motion to adjourn is on the table. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition?
Aye.
No, that was not opposition. Good. Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you at Bus Rail and Metro Access. Thank you, everybody. Y'all.